Donald on a Kitchen talks about food. Donald on a Kitchen talks recipes. Donald on a Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donald on a Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctical.
And I'm McDonough Prisgintos.
We get together here once a week to talk about food, farming, recipes, advice, and opinions, don't we, Donna?
All of our favorite things.
We do, we do. And we're part of this fine community radio station. This is KHOI, and KHOI is a community radio station. People here are volunteers. Donna and I are even have our own show here. Can you imagine? And other nice folks do, too.
This and thanks for listening to our opinions.
Yes, thanks. We appreciate all your input, your output, and everything else because the listeners make this radio station happen. Considering CSAs, that's a community-supported agriculture. And Donna has a fine recipes for us, and we're going to consider what's up this time of year. What's up? What's up in our yards?
A lot's up.
Yeah, up. It's spring. So we're going to consider...
Tra-la. Oh, no, that's not May. That's May. We're not there yet. Okay.
You can.
I jumped the gun.
You can tra-la anytime, Donna. I think it's very appropriate.
The lusty month of March.
Tra-la. Rain and wind, and in like lions, out like lambs.
Exactly.
Or vice versa.
Lon and I are very big on all the old-fashioned cliches. We like those.
Because they work. They do, sort of.
They're comforting.
And they are. We like that a lot. So, welcome to the Donald on a Kitchen. Consider, how do you feed yourself? Do you grow your own? Do you visit food trucks all the time? Do you order pizza in a lot? Do you cook? Do you not cook? Does someone cook for you? What about your very own food security?
Explain food security.
Well,
it's hard to understand here in the midst of an agricultural community, the question of food security or insecurity. I would say we're pretty secure
we
here.
We are secure, but just think, security has to do with, can you afford it? Can you get to it? Do you have a place to keep it? Do you have a place to cook it?
You know what else? Weather is changing.
Right.
What if we have a drought or a flood or a...
It affects us as food prices for right now. Mm-hmm. But in some parts of this big old world, there's like droughts. There's like absence of food. There's like real problems with
famines
water.
And floods and fires and... Of biblical proportions.
So let's take this on to our brain a little bit and think about, how do you feed yourself? Let's talk local. We have in our studio today someone who knows about community-supported agriculture.
That's, in popular CSA. Marilyn Anderson is here from Farm to Folk.
Hello.
Which has been going on. How long has this been going on in Ames? A good while.
Yeah,
more than 10 years.
This is our 20th year.
Oh, my goodness. How old are we, darling? Oh, my goodness.
We're very young.
Yes. 20 years. Okay. So this is a food buying option that I use regularly, and I feel very fortunate that we have this. And thank you, Marilyn, for all of your work. And please explain what Farm to Folk is.
Farm to Folk is a way to connect local eaters with local food producers. We have CSAs, as Donna was saying, community-supported agriculture, where One pays at the beginning of the season, and then all season long you get a box of fresh vegetables, whatever's ready in the garden, chosen by the farmer. We also offer what we call a la carte.
And that's my favorite one. It's like going to the grocery store, except you have to think of it maybe 4 days in advance.
Yes.
You order it online, and then you show up to pick it up.
That's right, yeah. With the a la carte, we have a bunch of different producers that are all local. They tell me every Thursday what they're going to have the next week. I make an online order form.
Right, and then it comes in your inbox from Maryland every week, this little letter of saying, well, so-and-so has this and so-and-so has that, and you choose what you want for the week.
Yes, you order by Saturday and then come pick it up on Tuesday at the First Methodist Church.
In downtown Ames.
Yep.
It couldn't be more convenient, I have to say.
One thing that's quite unique about this organization called Farm to Folk, there's many different kinds of CSA models, and many times a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, is one farm producing a lot of things, and those go great guns and do well. Mm-hmm. But this is a cooperative of farmers and food producers and milk producers, and there are Maryland's
cheese
job,
and yes, bread and flour and honey and eggs
and flowers.
Yes, the kind that you put on the dining room table.
Maryland's job is to coordinate all this. How did this evolve into being a many farmers to folks as opposed to just one farm to folks? Has that always been the model for this organization?
It started out originally, it was one farmer, and after a couple years.
Who was the first farmer?
The first farmer was Mark Harris.
And what did he grow?
He grew a bunch of different things, and he had a CSA share. After a couple years, we had what we called a collaborative producer CSA. So five different producers mm-hmm. all worked together to make a CSA share. And that was all delivered through what we called Magic Beanstalk at that time. But after a few years of that, farmers were getting more experience, and they wanted to have autonomy over their CSA share. Mm-hmm. They felt like they could grow.
Right, because this was, at the beginning at least, I'm sure, pretty much vegetable producers, right?
It was, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we started having a few farmers who could each grow a CSA. But there were other farms who didn't want to do a whole CSA, but they specialized in certain things, like Onion Creek Farm, who specialized in onions, potatoes, and
garlic.
That sort of thing, garlic.
This is Lana's farm.
Anyway, so we had a few farms that just wanted to do a few special crops. So that's how the a la carte system developed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's grown. And now farmers are getting more experience. They're growing more things. But there are still a lot of them that don't want to do the CSA model. They want to just grow a few special crops, and that's worked out really well.
Now, are you essentially a nonprofit?
We are a nonprofit.
You are a nonprofit, mm-hmm. Which means that the majority of the money goes directly to the farmer.
That's right, yeah. 88% of our money goes to the farmer, so our administration is 12% mm-hmm.
And of course, you use the church basement. This year, it's the Methodist Church and the
mm-hmm.
downtown Methodist
yes,
Church.
Yes, that's right.
So now, tell me about some of the products that you have.
We have a little bit of everything. Almost every vegetable that can be grown in Iowa is offered. We have gems.
At certain times in the year.
Right. In season. That's an important thing. People need to learn to eat by the season. But we are very fortunate that we have a local farmer, Lee's Greens, who has heated greenhouses. So he grows greens all year long.
You know, I have to say, okay, so I moved to Ames a little bit more than 10 years ago. And, of course, coming from California, which is like a little, you change your cooking habits, okay? So the first year I was here, I noticed at September 1st, everything stops. You know, there were no things to buy in the winter that weren't imported. And you know, the weather is still beautiful in September. And so I have noticed then slowly people were extending their seasons. And then along came High Tunnels and then Dean
at the Berry Patch,
who's ever inventive, built some winter type of greenhouses. And then we started having local lettuce and greens and herbs. And I can remember saying to his wife, well, charge what you need to because we don't want this to go away. We want you to be able to make enough money that you keep doing this because it is astounding in the middle of an Iowa winter that you have, and now we have it from Lee's Green. So he usually has baby collards, different kinds of kales, spinach, sometimes basil, sometimes mint. I mean, really, enough yummy vegetables to get you through.
That's right, yeah. I wanted to say a little bit about the support that a CSA gives a farmer. I'm one of the don't grow so much, but I grow some for farm to folk. I am not at the time of my life or a time of my experience when I where I want to grow a huge variety of things. But I do love to garden. I do love to farm.
Right. One year, I think you tried not to do it. You just couldn't stand it.
Well, I can't stop. But still, the willingness to work with farmers that work in small quantities and this a la carte option to connect us up and to actually help us build a market and build an awareness between the consumer and the farmer.
Well, I want to quantify what Lana's saying. Okay, her idea of a small farmer is, last year she did 31 varieties of tomatoes, and when they harvested garlic, how many plants did you pull out of the ground?
Oh, it was a lot.
Well, come on.
It was a couple thousand heads.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're not talking, you know, a 4-foot by 4-foot garden in your backyard.
No, but we're not talking a big mechanized operation either.
Heavens no.
But there's room for all that sort of thing. One nice thing that Farm to Folk and other CSA models do is teach us all about timing. About, you mentioned mm-hmm. growing, mm-hmm. Eating local, eating in season. And when you talk to a consumer or a consumer talks to eaters. When eaters talk to farmers, and they say, where's my strawberries? And I say, it's March. And we learn that, yes, we can ship it all in. We know what that costs to the planet and to transportation and to economic food systems and to labor.
Well, and not only that, your March strawberries coming from California taste nothing like your June strawberries picked here in Iowa.
So the education that happens is really important. The support that this organization gives to farmers of all sorts is really important. Yeah. So who buys this stuff, Marilyn? Who are our eaters that support these folks?
Our eaters are students, they're Ames families and families from surrounding communities.
How do you think people find you? Do you think it's been just word of mouth and people know?
Word of mouth has been our biggest way of getting the word out, but I'm always astounded that people haven't heard of it. We've been around for 20 years and people still don't know.
And what a thing not to know, you know. I mean, I buy a lot of my groceries from our, you know, either Hy-Vee or Wheatsfield or around town or Fairway or whatever, but I always put my Farm to Folk order in because that's the basis. You start from there. Yeah. What do we got this week?
Yeah, and the stuff you get at Farm to Folk, you know, it's freshly picked and it's peak.
Yeah,
it's a new way of picking up your food too.
Plus, the money goes right to the grower.
You actually get to go in and see the person. Well, not all the time. The farmers are not there all the time, but there's a good chance.
Well, they have to show up and drop it off every Tuesday, don't
they?
They
do. Yeah. That's a good chance. So there's this wonderful cross connection of things that you actually see Bruce Smith bringing in a big box, or as he would probably do, 8 or 10 big boxes of green stuff. And you can actually say how much you like it. Or, Bruce, you're giving me too much. Or, Bruce, what is this stuff here? What is this kohlrabi? What do I do with it? And he'll tell you, because you find out
that farmers like to do this, and they like to talk to their eaters, too.
Absolutely. It's like talking with your neighbor over the fence about what's grown in his garden or something.
And the farmers know how to prepare the food, too. They give you such good tips on what to do with it.
We all like to eat. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Things that people get throughout the year change, I'm sure. So what are people getting now, or what will they be getting now first in the spring?
Well, right now they're getting greens, and there has been a few things stored over, like the winter squashes, but they're running out now.
Sweet potatoes. Yeah, we're at the end of that.
We're at the end of that, and now radishes, spinach, lettuce, those things will be starting to come up outdoors. And then we'll move into peas and eventually tomatoes, peppers, all those hot season things. But, yeah, the spring season is asparagus.
And that's one thing that the CSA model has done, because farmers know that there is a market for these things. Storage facilities are built. Planning happens. High tunnels happen. Greenhouses happen. And people are willing to take Farmers are willing to take a risk on the market, on people buying, and the people that are buying are willing to take a risk by buying ahead.
If you use the CSA model. If you use an a la carte model, it's just like going to the store,
true.
You have to think ahead a few days. I want to rave about what I've been cooking with all winter long, which are Lee's greens. Now, he has a... He's got a winterized greenhouse.
He
does. Is that how he
has four or five of those.
Yes. So every week there's been a choice of kales, either the red Russian or
the green.
And the beauty of it is because he's growing in the greenhouse, they're kind of baby kales and miniature kales. And this year he did the most beautiful baby collards. I have to say those have been the delight, because when they're small plants, they're so tender. And the other good thing is, because they're so small, you can eat the stems. You know, they're just, you can throw them in the pan. And he does spinaches, too. He's done a couple varieties of spinach.
Yeah.
But they come washed, and you just throw them in the pan. You don't have to stem them. You don't have to clean them. You can, you know, stir fry them. You can throw them into soups. You can put them into, they're so easy to use, and they're so fresh and delicious. There's other things you can get, too. He's done herbs. He does sprouts.
Yeah, he has herbs and, sprouts pretty much all year round.
Yeah, so it's really a treat to have, in the middle of the winter, these green things that have not come all the way from California or Florida.
And one thing that I noticed has been a popular item is that milk is delivered to be picked up.
Yeah, we are lucky to have a local creamery that brings milk.
Picket Fence
Creamery. They deliver milk every week. People can buy that as a share where they pay ahead 10 weeks at a time, or they can order it on
There's milks, and Picket Fence also has, what else do they, ice cream?
Ice cream, cream.
Oh, yeah, the cream.
Cheese.
And some meat products, too.
Yes. Yeah, tell us about the meat products. That's been a growing section.
Yeah, you have a few people doing really good meats.
We do. Yeah, we have some great meat producers. We work with the Story City Locker, and a lot of the producers, Remnant Hills, I know, always has their meat processed.
Yeah, now Remnant Hills is a young family, and they do kind of forage-based pork and lamb, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all non-GMO fed.
Right.
And Tom goes the extra mile. He goes out to Kevin Dietzel's creamery, and we have his cheese at Farm to Fork, too.
Right.
But so they go out and they take the whey from the cheese, and he carries it home and feeds it to the pigs. And I think he's also going to Alluvial
yes.
and collecting the spent grain to feed to the pigs. This is like a closed loop community project.
It's just beautiful how
it's
together.
Lovely to see all those young farmers working together, you know.
Yeah.
So I love to buy that product. Anything from Remnant Hills is, in fact, that's where I was getting my pig's feet. We did have Some pig's feet conversations on the shows, right?
Oh, we talk about lots of things here. Pig's feet was one of them. Yeah. Oh, who are some other meat producers?
We have Mary's Farm and Garden. She
does
chickens. Cindy Madsen does pork and poultry.
Cindy comes once a month.
She comes once a month, second Tuesday of the month. Nick Wallace. Wallace Farms comes once a month also. Or no, they come every other month now.
And they and you have eggs?
We have eggs from several producers.
Yes, and you have duck eggs from a few people, too.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that everyone try duck eggs. They're just like a chicken egg. They're a little bit bigger, but they are so – they're just slightly richer. And they have denser shells, too, which is kind of fun if you have children and they're trying to break the egg. It can be rather hysterical. But everybody should give duck eggs a try just for fun.
And duck – as in duck meat. I do like a good duck every now and then. It's nice to know. People often ask, where can one buy this sort of thing? And these are local farmers. And if you get to know them through a CSA, through this Farm to Folk, you can ask questions. They can show you how things are done. Listen to KHOI FM 89.1. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen, tasty radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back to the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was a little bit of Romanian dance music. Why
that
not?
That was Romanian.
That was Romanian, played by a Celtic band from a Green Linnet connection. The band is called the House Band. But that was a little Romanian dance piece called Rispiti. Why not? That's just a good thing to have this time of a day. We are here at our kitchen table with Marilyn Anderson talking about Farm to Folk CSA. There's a lot more people that we need to mention because this CSA is a cooperative. there are a lot of people that are part of this great organization. Marilyn, could you tell us some other people that are part of this?
The farmers. The farmers.
Yeah, the farmers.
What are they bringing?
Yeah.
What can we buy? What can we have? There are some things that you have that maybe it's the only place. Yeah, it's the only place you can buy it in Ames, right? A few of the items.
Oh, maybe so. I'm not really sure what you can buy other places, but, yeah, we have a lot. We have three CSA farmers this year, Lee's Greens, who I've mentioned. We have Middleway Farm and Seven Pines Farm. They also do a la carte items, too.
And what's Bruce?
Bruce is only going to do a la carte this year.
Oh, that's fine with me. That's my order.
I know. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah. Bruce. Oh, see, Bruce.
Bruce.
He's been around so long that we just talked.
You know, Bruce. You know, Bruce. Right? What's Bruce doing?
Bruce, his farm is called
Iowa Fresh Produce.
Iowa Fresh, right.
There you go.
And he does salad greens, and he does a lot of vegetables,
too. He does a lot
too.
Of different things. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's at... maybe not all, but most of your farmers are also at the farmer's market once it opens up.
Yes. Okay. Yes, they are. Yeah. We have two bakers at Farm to Folk, Iowa Farmhouse Breads and Two Rivers Bread Company. The Two Rivers Bread Company does sourdough breads, traditional sourdough breads. And Heather at Iowa Farmhouse Breads, she does a lot of different things. She does pretzel buns. She does... focaccia breads. She does muffins and sweet loaves. She does a lot.
You have Farm to Folk has a long history. Going back to remember the guy for a long time that used to do the homemade bagels here in Ames?
Yeah, that was Bill Lindsay.
Oh, my goodness. I've never had better bagels in my life. Too bad he moved away.
He did. That was
sad. I used to come to Farm to Folk just to get the bagels.
Yep. We also will have two different flower CSAs this year. One from...
Like F-L-O-W-E-R.
Yes.
Right.
Flowers, the pretty kind that you put on your table from Elizabella Flower Farm and from Friends Flowers. They're both offering the CSA share of those.
So you show up and pick your posies.
Mm-hmm. In bouquets, you just come and grab them. You can get it once every week. You can get it twice a month or once a month. Both of those shares will do that. And then our a la carte providers, Onion Creek Farm with the onions, potatoes, delicious jams and jellies.
Yeah, Lana makes jams and jellies.
Yes.
And I have to tell you guys, last year, this is cross-referencing, Marilyn has apricot trees. And what, six of them or something?
Six of
them. A rather large amount. And last year, they happened to be the best apricots on the planet.
They were
amazing, amazing. And Lana picked Marilyn's apricots, and we just finished the last jar of the apricot jam. It was really superb.
See, this is using Iowa Connections, Iowa fruit, and boy, it was good. I think we'll try that again. There's other things that grow in Iowa, and we'll try to use local fruit every time we can.
And you know, fruit, like, since we had such a delicious apricot last year, I'm not expecting them to be as good this year. I mean, could be wrong, but boy, they were so... Aren't fruit trees a little like that?
Yeah, they kind of go every other year. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting to see if they blossom out this year. We never know.
Well, we hope.
We'll see.
The rain today won't hurt.
It won't hurt.
Yeah.
We mentioned Iowa Fresh Produce. Bruce is doing a la carte. Berry Patch Farm, strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, yum.
Currants, gooseberries, and, of course, apples.
Apples.
That's their big crop.
Yes. Mary's Farm and Garden with the poultry and eggs and duck eggs.
And Mary does the duck eggs,
duck
too.
Duck eggs, yes.
Yeah. Both Mary and Lee's Greens do duck eggs.
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Remnant Hills with their meats, and he has eggs also.
Oh, that's right. And Lana sometimes has eggs, too, but you had a weasel or something this year, so they're a little low in the production.
Low in production.
But they got that weasel, so are you getting more chicks in the spring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay. Here we go again.
Yeah. Early Morning Harvest, we haven't mentioned them. Locally milled grains.
Flowers and grains. F-L-O-U-R-S. We have talked many, many times about Earl's Corn Polenta and how wonderful it is. That's Early Morning Harvest. And I have to say That may be the only place in town where you can buy the full line of early morning harvest products. So he's got ground cereals, he's got corn products, oat products, flours, beautiful flours, rye.
Buckwheat.
He also has buckwheat and buckwheat honey, which
yes.
I recommend to everyone. It is a delicious, delicious product.
Yeah, it's like eating candy.
He has a clover honey, too, but Earl swears that the buckwheat honey has cured his arthritis. There you go.
There you go.
Doubt it.
Yeah. Salt Liquors will be there, with all their different salt and herb blends.
Those are flavored salts,
mm-hmm.
right?
And then Lost Lake Farm, the cheesemaker.
Oh, yes. Our beloved new young cheesemaker.
Yeah. And his cheese is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Blessed are the cheesemakers.
Yeah. And I'm going to let a little secret out of the bag. Kevin, he's just making mozzarellas now because he's starting, but I have had some of his soft rind cheeses, and I'm hoping as his business grows, he'll be able to make that on a scale where we can all try them. He's very talented cheesemaker.
He's very good. He did offer at Farm to Folk last week, I think it was, a rind aged 10-month aged cheese.
Oh, whoopee! It
was great.
And it's all gone, I suppose.
It was a limited supply.
Yeah. Well, if he did it once, he'll do it again.
He will do it again.
So that's worth joining Farm to Folk for just to get that because it may be the only place you can get it at the moment.
Yeah, that could be. So, and today we are having our open house, Farm to Folk Meet the Producers Day.
Okay, this means at 4 o'clock, you guys can all come and see where the distribution is, understand how. Oh, yeah, and what is it, like a $20 annual membership or minimal?
Yeah, $15 annual membership.
Okay. And you can meet the producers, and they will be having little tastings and demonstrations.
Tastings, yeah. Heather said she's going to be making French toast. Nick will have sourdough samples. Early Morning Harvest is going to bring some cornbread to sample.
Oh, goody.
And I don't know what other people are bringing, but it'll be tasty. I think Dan will probably bring some. Dan from Seven Pines Farm will have his salsas.
Mm-hmm.
He has a commercial kitchen, and he does some other jarred products.
Yeah, I buy my salsa from him. It's quite good.
It is good.
This is a real fun opportunity. You'll find yourself talking about food, not just kale, but Lee's Greens kale, not just cheese, but Kevin's cheese. You'd be able to put a face on your dinner and get to know some of these folks.
And Lana will be there.
I'll be there, too. Yeah, I'll scrounge up, see if I got any of that jelly left just to whet people's appetite.
Oh, my goodness. I thought we went right through all of that.
The holidays and that sort of thing sort of wiped me out on some things. But it's nice to know that the season does start up again. CSA Share.
This is when you show up and you get a box of whatever the farmer is growing right then.
Right.
And a share lasts like all summer, right?
Yes. Yeah. Either 20 weeks or 24 weeks. Mm-hmm. They vary. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And buying things a la carte, you become a member, and then you have an account, or you show up with your penny jar, or how does that work?
Either way, we do like to have accounts where people just pay ahead, and then we just deduct whatever they purchase, and they can add to that as needed. Then you just come in, grab your box of stuff, and go. Or you can stop at our checkout and pay each week if you want.
That's good. That's good. Oh, also, I want to mention that there are other things that are agricultural products. You do agricultural products yourself, Marilyn. You do weaving.
I do weaving.
So tell me about what you weave.
Well, mostly I weave rugs. I do have some fiber animals. I have Angora goats, and I have a llama. And I spin those fibers, and I use those for some rugs. And then I also make cotton handwoven rugs.
She's been known to do hats and mittens.
I do hats and mittens as well.
Some beautiful hats.
See, this is all local stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's made by local farmers, local artisans, local people that like to bring food to our community.
Yeah, it has this social aspect to it.
Yes.
So tell us again, first of all, what's the web address?
The web address is farmtofolk.com, FARMTOFOLK.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go there. There's an online order form for a la carte and also to sign up for a CSA share. Or you can stop by today and sign up for a CSA share, talk to the farmers, decide which one you want, sign up today.
Sounds great. Sounds great. You're listening to KHOI, Community Radio for the Heart of Iowa, and you are also listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. If you'd like to find out more about this fine radio station and about this fine show, go to KHOIFM.org. On that site, you can find out about a lot of other good local programming that happens right here at this radio station. This radio station is on 24/7. You'd be surprised what you can find here. And also you can find a page, an archive of all of our Donna Lana Kitchen past shows.
If you Three whole years of them.
If you just can't get enough, you bet. Lots
or if
of
you
them.
Heard something and you want to remember what we, what was that recipe we said or this or that, you can find it.
Yes, you can. Sometimes I can even find it, too. And recipes. We have a recipe page. And thanks to our webmaster, Ron Carson, for kind of going through there and putting things up. That's good. So KHOIFM.org will get you more information. And if you want to contact us, we have an email, khoiradio@gmail.com. And if you want to put Donna Lana Kitchen in the headline We'd like to hear what's on your plate. Send us a recipe. Send us an opinion.
Or if you have a question, maybe we can help.
Yeah. Certainly, everyone has an opinion. So, we'd love to hear from you. This place has always got exciting things happening. A few weeks ago, on a Tuesday morning, believe it or not, our KHOI radio tower was struck by lightning. So, things are always happening here. And so we were off the air for a bit, and so we had to, Donalana Kitchen was off the air back and forth. Well, we are back now. And right about that time, Donna was leaving to visit California. And there was that show has been put up this past week, and you can hear all about her adventures there. And but she's back now from her adventure in California. On that, when you were talking about that, Donna, you mentioned a recipe that sounded pretty good to me. Donna, tell me about beets.
Well, we this was the 20th year of this event that I do always in Anaheim at the Natural Products Trade Show, and it's a fundraiser for a group called Organic Farming Research Foundation. So this year, we always pick a theme. We never cook the same thing twice in 20 years. And this year, last year we did Indian. The year before that, we did Mediterranean or something. Anyway, this year I said we are going to do Midwestern food because my co-chef, Chris Blobaum, is also an Iowa boy. And we just thought, let's get back to the heartland foods. So I did this recipe that I really enjoyed doing. It's from a book called The New Midwestern Table by Amy Thielen, which is about the best and only really, truly Midwestern cookbook. I really like it. And it's a beet dish. So, you know, we did it for 300. So I feel pretty comfortable with the recipe by now. And it's really basic. One thing I did is, I often just boil my beets because it's so easy and the skins slip right off. And these were just, you know, your standard red beets. But she called to have them roasted over a fire. Well, we didn't do that, but we did want to roast them in the oven. So Chris, my co-chef, who's a very experienced restaurant chef, taught me this technique, which I will use again, because often when you roast them in the oven, it is a little harder to slip the skins off. And as a home cook, you know, I don't have 20 choppers and peelers in the kitchen to deal with that. So what Chris showed me to do is you just scrub them up, leave the skins on, and you leave the root and the top on. You don't trim that off. And then you put it in a pan and you put a little bit of water in the bottom, like a half an inch. And then you cover with aluminum foil, which ends up being, you're still roasting them. So you get that concentrated flavor, which is why you want to roast them. It does make them sweeter and a little more flavorful. But the little bit of water in the pan does loosen the skin. So this is the technique I'm going to use for cooking beets from now on. I really, really liked it. So the recipe in the book, which is at this point is kind of scaled to a normal household, she calls it campfire baked beets with hazelnut sesame salt. Now, the part that I really liked was the hazelnut sesame salt. So basically, she's using about 2 pounds or 5 medium beets. And so you roast those up. Now, I, of course, changed the recipe a little bit. I also used a large dice of red onions. So I put onions and beets in the mixture, and I just lightly sautéed those onions till they were not dead, but the heat was gone out of them. So you roast the beets and cut them into kind of bite-sized pieces, and then I did the same with the onions and mixed them together, and then you just put a vinegar and oil, salt and pepper, and she recommended a red wine vinegar, which I used, and it was very good. So you've got your basic beet salad there. Then, this is the fun part, and I will do this again, and I will probably use it on other things. You take your hazelnuts, and you roast them, and then, you know, hazelnuts have a skin on them, so you have to take, like, a towel or something and just roll them till most of the skin comes off. It's a little annoying, but it's not that big a deal. For her recipe, she used, only 1/3 cup of hazelnuts toasted. I think I was a little... I got into the hazelnuts, let's say. Okay, so then with the hazelnuts, so then you roast the hazelnuts, rub the skins off, and they are just delicious. And then she says you pound them to, and she used the word rubble. And I like that because that really describes, you don't want a fine paste, but you don't want a half a nut. You want it really crumbly. And that just kind of busts the flavor out of these fresh roasted.
Now this is pounding, not Cuisinarting them. You don't want butter.
No, I think at home I would probably, one of my favorite tricks is I put them in a fairly thick plastic bag and just bang it with something, you know, till you get that, and you spread them out so they're kind of a thin layer and you just keep popping them till you, we actually ended up using some kind of food processor, just bursting it with a blitz and stop and look and blitz and stop and look till we got, you know, because you can go too far and then you do have just mush. So this is, think of a rubble. Then you put in, she says with, okay, for her proportions, she's got a third of a cup of hazelnuts with a tablespoon and a half of sesame seeds. So I just took some sesame seeds. I used the white ones. And then I also pounded the same way. It doesn't hurt if the you don't want them to turn to tahini, but you know, they're pretty small anyway. So I think I did those in my food mill coffee grinder kind of thing. And then into that, this is the fun part. You take a small clove of garlic and you pound it small enough, really, really fine, so that it mixes in. So you've got raw garlic, hazelnuts, sesame seeds, and then a pinch of sugar and salt and pepper. And this makes this beautiful, it was so delicious. And I think if you make extra and put it in the refrigerator, it would be good on like a sauteed chicken dish, or it was just, steam some green beans. There are all kinds of uses for that. So it's just salt, pepper, and a little bit of sugar with the sesame seeds, the hazelnut, and then in the end, I did chop chives into the vinegared beets and onions. So you have a little bit of green in there, and then you just kind of spread the hazelnuts over the top of the salad. Oh, yum. It was really, really good.
Now, doesn't that sound good? I think this sort of recipe may just end up on the Donalana Kitchen recipe page whenever we can get around to it.
It was delightful. Yeah. I was quite taken with it.
That's the idea of adding a little bit of sugar to
Yeah, not enough that they taste sweet, but it was with the garlic and the salt and pepper and the nuts and the seeds. It was just really, really yummy.
Great, great. So, It is beginning to be more spring-like. Robins are robining.
Oh, yes, we had those fat robins that came through last week.
Yes, and you may not believe me, but I did see this, and not only me, but my neighbor saw this too. I saw a pileated woodpecker, which is...
That's the woody woodpecker kind of woodpecker?
It's a very big... with the sort of woody woodpecker-looking thing. Boy, they're very shy. They're very slow. Yeah, and big, and... Now, it was a very, very fleeting sighting out in the woods, but it was so big, it couldn't have been anything else.
What are the little ones that we have all the time?
Those hairy are the little ones. Downy are the slightly bigger ones.
And well, then, even I have them in my backyard.
Yeah. And then there's the red-bellied ones. They have a red head, but they have a pinky belly.
Yeah. It must be the downy ones that I see.
Yeah. So.
And you can hear them in the woods all the time.
It's spring. And you said your forsythia was up, Donna.
It's got little green buds on it, and the tulips are peeking through the ground, and the, what's that herb that mother, oh, the motherwort, right?
Huh?
That's always the first one up. It's coming up.
Here comes the Artemisias, there's a lot of mm-hmm. plants in that family, mm-hmm. and here they come, folks. Garlic's up in the field.
Oh boy!
And naked ladies are up. My naked lady is a lily. This time of year, do you have?
I do. Yeah, huh? Yeah. Mine are like.
Are they in the? Is that a woodland wild?
I don't think so.
I think it's a garden thing. You mm-hmm. plant them and forget them this time of year. Isn't that right, Marilyn?
Is it a bulb thing? Oh, yeah, it's a lily,
yeah, it's
right.
A bulb. So it comes up, the leaves come up, and then in the summer...
Then the leaves die down, and you forget that there's anything there at all. And then midsummer,
beautiful, light purple.
A stalk comes up with this very flashy sort of, pink.
What's it called? Lily. Naked lady?
Naked lady. I've also heard
Godiva lilies?
Yeah, Godiva lilies.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Or surprise lilies. Because the greens totally come real fast and the leaves totally die. And but they're coming. I'm still looking for snowdrops, so that's maybe a way off. They may be a way off.
Great. My crocuses are up.
Oh, good for you.
And are they blooming?
No.
No, they're just poking through.
They're
right.
About that tall, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Well, and with the rain, we'll have the robins out, pulling the worms out, so.
Very good.
We're on track here. Do you think we're a little early, even, this year?
Maybe. I don't know.
We've had hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. I had picked some lilac stems long about Christmas time and made kind of a artful branchy arrangement to put some Christmas decorations on, and that was stuck by the back door. And over the past few months, although this stuff was not in water, it was just sticking in a pail, nothing, I've watched those buds kind of get fat, die down. They're finally dead down.
Are they outside?
Outside.
Yeah.
Huh. I was just really surprised. Things do want to grow. And farms will be growing things. Food will be growing. Thank you for being with us today, Marilyn.
That website again?
Website again.
Farmtofolk.com.
FarmTofolk. Oh, okay.
.com.
That'll do it.
There we go.
That'll do it. So we're thinking about the earth coming back to life. Think of green and growing things. You can get to know a farmer. Get to know more than one farmer. There's farmers markets coming up and CSAs to explore. Lots of good things. How do you feed yourself? Find out a good way to feed yourself by coming face to face with a farmer, coming face to face with some local food. Look into a CSA. This is community radio. Volunteers make this radio station happening. KHOI is an important resource in these strange times. Maybe we should listen to each other more. Maybe we should talk to each other more. Donalana Kitchen is a small, proud part of KHOI Community Radio. Support this fine radio station. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintos.
We've had fine engineering by Evan Taylor. Eat good food and enjoy life.